Live from Indianapolis, Indiana, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 180. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I would like to say that I'm not fired up, but, you know, it's going to be shows like this that, you know what I'm saying, even if you had, you know what I'm saying, a book of notes, still wouldn't be enough, man. Brandon, what a great weekend. We had a college football. We had a great weekend, you know what I'm saying? I know you got to see all out and whatnot, man, but, and I know we got, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of stuff to talk about. Going into this weekend to talk about NFL, but man, what a great weekend of college football.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a big show this evening tonight. We've got recapping a little bit, some news and notes of week number one within college football. We've got NFL week one starting up with NFL, Indianapolis Colts, Seattle this weekend, Lucas Oil Stadium at the Drum. We got a little bit of wrestling to talk about this evening, some NFL news and notes. And a few quick hitters. We got a quicker show this evening, folks. Only going to be about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. I've got a prior commitment right at the top of the hour of 8 o'clock that I have to be prepared for. So we are going to get right to it. Also, Tanner Penrod joins us later on this evening, probably about a half hour or so from now. We'll go through our picks from week one and talk about week two's picks. It's a little bit of an early slate, so the spreads are kind of a little skewed. They may move a little bit, but overall, we're ready to go. And spoiler alert, I had a damn good week. So we'll leave it at that for now.
we can leave it at that. It's not like, remember, folks, when Brandon's talking about he had a good week, meaning he had a good week as far as our sports betting is concerned. Just remember, folks, like we're saying, when we are including spreads, you know what I'm saying, if a team beats another team, you know what I'm saying, with Vegas, the Vegas odds or whatnot. I had to recount and look at, because I was like, how is Brandon 7-2, and he took Florida State to beat, but, you know what I'm saying, Notre Dame didn't cover. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
As far as our picks from last week, Notre Dame didn't cover. So that takes
us over. Which is why we also all lost on Ball State.
Right. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, Brandon does know what he knows what he knows as far as sports betting. This is true. But straight up, if you're a fan and you know what I'm saying, you ask me, I'm gonna tell you if we had to recalculate that, my numbers would be a little different.
Well, agreed. I mean, shit, I would have took Notre Dame if it was just straight up. I mean, come on now.
Nah, man, I didn't think you're not that sold on. We'll get into it, I know, but you're not that sold on Notre Dame, and I know you know what I'm saying. I know
I'm not sold on them, but I knew they would win that game. But I knew Florida State would at least cover. It's Bobby Bowden death game. They had to cover. Bobby Bowden death game. All over the field.
Well, I don't know where you want to start at, Brandon. If you want
let's to start there.
Fans here at home or agency, but let's get into it, man. Like I said, I'm fired up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive right in. First week, starting out, Ball State. Ball State had a hell of a game. A little bit of a rust, you could say, from the first half for the Ball State Cardinals and their matchup against Western Illinois.
Yep.
They got it turned around. They started playing better. Drew Plitt, I can't think, gosh dang it, I had the receiver's name, two touchdowns. But Ball State looks good, John. They got a tough one. We'll talk later on this week. They go to Penn State, Happy Valley, to take on the Spartans. Or Nittany Lions, excuse me. I had Spartans in my head.
Right.
But Ball State looked good, I thought, second half.
Second half, you know what I'm saying, dealing with I think that's a FCS team that they're playing. You don't necessarily want. Hell, the spread on that. Yeah, we're talking spreads now. The spread on that was like 22 points, I thought. And, you know what I'm saying, most of us kind of thought more of a dominating performance. And that didn't necessarily happen. The final score, you know what I'm saying, obviously favored Ball State because they came out on the plus side. But, you know, keeping that particular team under 10 points or under, you know what I'm saying, under, yeah, that's what I thought they could do. just wasn't the case. So, you know what I'm saying? If anything, this particular weekend, it was the fact that FCS teams are trying to put, you know what I'm saying, some of these other, you know what I'm saying, whether you be a Mid-American or even, I think a Big 12 team kind of struggled this weekend, or maybe it was Oregon. Yeah, Oregon struggled. Fresno State, that's another FCS team that's kind of struggled. They won, but they kind of struggled in beating them, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, hey, everybody's here to compete, and everybody's here to, you know what I'm saying, trying to make a little noise, especially the first 3 weeks, you know what I'm saying, before conference play kind of starts for some of these teams. So the first half, what we wanted to see, like the breakaway and like, you know what I'm saying, Ball State putting the whole lot of distance in between themselves, and then it just didn't happen until, you know, I think they really fell off the home crowd, and really like the pressure of not wanting to, you know what I'm saying, potentially start 0-2. Because it's like, hey, man, because like you said, you know what I'm saying, they got Penn State, and it's not at home. It's in Happy Valley this weekend, man. And that's not, you know what I'm saying, that Penn State, you know, they're one of the stronger defensive teams this year. You know what I'm saying? If anybody caught the Wisconsin game. So Ball State didn't want to go into the hole. And like I said, they didn't. They made sure of that. But, again, it's by taking care of business in the second half. But, man, by no means, by the first half looks of it, was it easy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Going a little bit across the state, West Lafayette through Boilermakers, Oregon State, Purdue had a back-and-forth game until a touchdown put it away at the end. I thought Purdue's defense looked a hell of a lot better, first time in the last 3 years. They looked fast. They looked hard-hitting. Now, Oregon State, they're not like America's greatest team now. Come on now. But still, I thought it was a good step in the right direction for Purdue, especially with Brom being on the hot seat so much. But Purdue was 7-point favorites. They did end up covering that we took. But now they've got to take on a UConn team, John, that's on that shit list that I have with some other schools.
Ooh.
Randy Edsall, he couldn't get his team together. People were a little upset, and it seemed like the team wasn't listening to him. And then he says, I'm going to retire at the end of the season. And then UConn says, you know what? We're actually going to have you retire on Monday. So they forced him in retirement yesterday. So now it's UConn with no coach, no head coach coming in. Now assistant takes over, and Purdue coming there this weekend.
Yeah, no, the defensive coordinator, I do believe, took over. I don't, his name eludes me right now, but that's who is taking over the head coaching duties. Man, for that particular coach, man, he works some wonders. You know what I'm saying? Not the last 2 years of the season, but since his return back to UConn, he's worked some wonders, getting that program back to notoriety. He had some very notable seasons in Maryland as a Maryland head coach as well. But like sometimes, you know what I mean, you get too long in the tooth, and you know, he's not necessarily reaching today's players. So rather than have a total team revolt or a total team walkout, you know what I'm saying, the athletic department just set him down, man. That's basically what happened. The athletic department set him down. So he can kind of restore. Hell, I do believe, Brandon, he might be in the top two or three all-time win coaches in the program.
He is. Man. Yeah, that was his second time coming around. He had 6 wins in 3 years in his second stint.
Yeah. So yeah, man, it's just time. It's unfortunate something like that kind of happens. You know what I'm saying? 2-3 games in, not even 3 games. But no, man, Purdue has to win. Purdue beat Oregon State by 9, and I know people want to say the Pac-12 is back just because UCLA, you know what I'm saying, beat LSU, and you know USC looks to be back to their normal blowing out folks, whatever. But like, man, you know, I really thought, Brandon, that Purdue should have beat Oregon State by like at least 19. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I took Purdue. I'm glad they covered. But you know what I'm saying? Whether you win by 9, 1, or 90, you know what I'm saying? A win is a win. You take that and you run with it. So Purdue seemingly has somewhat of a cakewalk. They need to take care of business. I jokingly said on Twitter today that Purdue needs to win by 90 against UConn because the program kind of going nowhere fast. That's a little tongue in cheek. Nobody's going to, you know, say if Purdue rolls up like a 60 point basketball score, I won't be surprised. But like 90 points, definitely not. But like I think Purdue takes care of the business this weekend, and well, they should, and you know, get some of that stink off from last year. They get out of people's minds.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, kind of looking ahead at Purdue, you said they should win by 90. Well, the odds, and we'll talk about it with Tanner, Right now, Purdue is favored by 33.5 at UConn this Saturday. So I think it's another opportunity. Purdue Boilermakers, if you look at their schedule, John, they have the opportunity to go 4-1 to start the season. That lone loss is a team we're going to talk about next. But it's a kickstart for them to get back into that bowl season. By the time you get 5 games and you've got 4 wins, you only need 2 to get 2 more Big Ten games to get into the bowl. And there's an opportunity there with some of these games. But the team that I was talking that, you know, if Purdue looks like they could start 4-1 possibly, is Notre Dame, Fighting Irish, John. And that brings me to them because, Nelly, they were 7-point favorites. It started out at 9.5-point favorites, and then they went down to 7 against Florida State. They got a huge lead on Florida State, and it's almost like people are saying Brian Kelly took the gas off. Florida State, yep. God love them. They've got a talented roster. You can see how young they are and how they're not at that next step yet. They made a hell of a comeback. The coach iced his own kicker, which I don't understand why he didn't try to ice in the other kicker when he had an opportunity for it. So, but Notre Dame squeaks past Florida State in the opener.
Literally squeaks, man. I think Brian Kelly really wanted to blow that open, sort of like Alabama when they played Miami. You know, so I think he really wanted to show that because, you know, these coaches hear the same things we all – the people – you know what I'm saying, passing around in barbershop and on TV and whatnot, man. They say Notre Dame is a great regular season team, but never necessarily deserving of, you know what I'm saying, of their position when it comes to a playoff run or even an elite bowl, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, he was really trying to send a message, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Because like you said, I think that Florida State program, oh my goodness, Brandon, if they had Jimbo Fisher back, you know what I'm saying, wouldn't that have been something? I mean, I'm kind of going at the coach right now. I'm saying.
They'd probably be a top 10 team.
Right. The quarterback play is sloppy at best. I mean, that's how I can say, but he's talented.
I think it's a question now for him. What do you do?
The offensive line play, a little questionable. But, again, if those things get shored up, that defense, they got some defensive players, and they got some running backs that, you know, they got them back in the game, you know? So – again, and we'll get into this, the burial, you know what I'm saying, ESPN's burial of the ACC and how it influences people, dupes them, my personal opinion. But again, I don't necessarily think Florida State is done. Like, once, you know what I mean, again, that's a tight game. You know what I mean? A lot of they came into it. I know we even didn't necessarily give them a whole lot of hope. But, again, what did your eyes tell you? The eye test shows you that, you know what, as much crap talk as you said about the kid transferred the quarterback from Wisconsin not be able to play, he did leave Wisconsin to a Rose Bowl, right? But he was throwing it all over there. You know what I'm saying? So, again, Notre Dame's trying to make a statement, and when you look at the athleticism that Florida State has, and if they can put it all together and the coach can get out of his own damn way and not ice kicker or you know what I'm saying, they might be causing some little noise in the ACC when Clemson, quote-unquote, maybe ain't that strong, or North Carolina, quote-unquote, ain't that strong. You know what I mean? So, again, man, I thought it was a great game. I watched it, you know what I'm saying, from beginning to end. I thought Notre Dame was the better team. They played like the better team to like I said, Brian Kelly, you know what I'm saying, took his foot off the pedal and let the Florida State creep back into it. So, but again, go ahead.
Let me ask you this. I talked to somebody else about this. Did that game Sunday night, was it more of Notre Dame maybe not as good as what we thought they were? Or was it more of Florida State's a little better than we thought? I think it's the first part. I think it's Notre Dame's not as good as we think they should be. Does that make sense?
Okay. Because you don't really think they're a 10-win team, and I think they can get 10 wins.
They were very close to being a start to the starts of the 9 wins I was talking.
True.
Very
True.
Close. I was about, the tweet was loaded, ready for you. I'll just know that night.
I got you. That's cool. That's cool.
It was in the draft.
I think we made a mistake on Florida State's assessment of them being a competitive football team this year. Either in, you know, say in league play. Once their league kind of starts, man. I think again, real sloppy though, man. I will say that. Anybody,
yep.
You know, just real sloppy. Quarterback, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was Cam.
Where do you go with quarterback now? Where do you go with Florida State with quarterback? Do you stay with Milton? I mean,
I think you stay with Milton. Again, but that the coach has got to pull. He's the leader of the team. He's the face right now. You know what I'm saying? Again, because like you alluded to, Brandon, like you said, Brandon, they're a very young team. There's a lot of freshmen and sophomores. You know what I'm saying? He's also, you know what I'm saying, in the middle of still trying to put his stamp and rebuild the program because Jimbo Fisher didn't leave nothing left. Anything
right.
left, right? When he left. And I know it's been four and a half seasons ago, but you know what I'm saying?
And three coaches
things,
later.
You know, yeah, right. But again, man, those things, right, I forgot. Yeah, they hired some of the wrong people, right? The guy from Oregon. You know what I'm saying? That didn't work out. So again, man, you know, this guy is finally, you know, like I said, putting his stamp on his team. But again, it was just real sloppy play. And if they had cleaned up a lot of the sloppy play, whether it's on the offensive line or you know, saying some of the penalties they took and holding and whatnot, they might potentially have to come out and win that game, and we'd probably be having a different conversation.
Right. And the last one, I want to talk state teams, Indiana Hoosiers, John. IU went to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes. Well, we're supposed to go to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes. I took Iowa as a bet.
Yeah.
I put $40 on them win the cover of the 3.5, and my God, it was over in the first 10 minutes of the game. I won that bet. Iowa put a smackdown on the Hoosiers. I'm telling you, I think I thought IU was overrated this year, and that's not me being a hater of IU, but I just they mm-hmm. didn't reload the roster for a top 25 as a top 25 team that you should. And if you look at the recruiting class and stuff, it was way at that lower section than what most of these top 25 teams are at. Yes,
right. A lot of 3 stars, a lot of 3.5 star guys. Not the guys, 3.5 star guys. You know what I'm saying? The stars don't play for you. But they didn't go down there with their heads on fire. And,
nope.
You know, so Michael Penix Jr. didn't do them any favors by throwing 2 picks. And that kind of demoralized, you know what I'm saying, the whole program that they tried to do. Brandon, man, that was just bad. That's just bad all around. Of course, I took IU. I thought even if IU had lost, Brandon, I thought it would be closer than that. And, again, they didn't go up there. If you can blame, we can blame Michael Penix Jr., but those are two for the 2 pick 6s, right? But again, did they run the ball any type of way? Did they defend in any type of way? And I would say no. And those are things that you need to, you know what I'm saying, if you're down, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to put your head down and sulk. And that's kind of what happened up in Iowa.
Right. Yeah. There's things I'm gonna own that I'm gonna say, hey, I told you I was right about this. And there's things I'm gonna say I was wrong about. I'll say I was right about the Iowa in the Indiana situation. I didn't take Indiana for what they're bringing back in this season with all the hype, and listen to a lot of other national writers. They don't agree. They agree as well that Indiana was severely overrated going into this game. And I almost wanted to agree it as much as Miami was, going into their game against Alabama. We'll get to that one, but I just think the Hoosiers, they've got some soul searching to do. Now it's not going to be a complete wash of a season. Let's not get it straight.
Right.
Let's not get it wrong. I still think they got a good opportunity for a bowl game, but to me, this team is not as good as what last year was. And last year could have been just more of a fluke for how well it went.
You know, the folks at Penn State think it was a fluke. That's darn sure. Especially on that last play call. I think IU bounced back, obviously. I think they play Idaho State this weekend.
They play Idaho. We don't have a spread for that game, unfortunately, John. They haven't put one out, so.
Oh, wow. I think it's a game that they win. They got to get when the rubber beats the road, when they play Cincinnati in 2 weeks, the game for them to get back into the national talk. That's the game for them to get some of this they'll get some of the stink off this weekend. But if they wanted people to take them, even people in the Big Ten. Because, again, it seemingly like the Big Ten the powers have shifted back to, you know,
right.
The Penn States of the world, the Michigans of the world. Hell, nobody's, you know, I mean, and rightfully so, man, because, you know, saying once you start talking about Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, and then things kind of just fall off by week 3. But, again, Michigan looked better than almost anybody this past weekend, and they play. I think they play Western Michigan. But again, nobody's necessarily kind of talking about that. So, but again, you know, with that the game between Penn State and Wisconsin, Wisconsin is still going to be there at the end. You know what I'm saying, fighting for Big Ten superiority. Again, if you do trust in the program that is Ohio State to at least, you know what I'm saying, maybe not lose in the preseason before the Big Ten season starts, I think, that's a young quarterback, dude. You know what I'm saying? The kid ain't, I mean, he's only 19 years old.
I got him at five wins.
He's real good, man. You can see the potential, man. But again, you know, I just don't necessarily believe, man, that Ohio State can run the table in the Big Ten. I think, you know what I'm saying, Brandon, I think they beat Oregon State. I'm sorry, I think they beat Oregon this weekend by almost two scores.
Woo.
You know what I mean? But,
Woo. Yeah.
All right, man, Brandon, I know you watch a whole lot of other things, man, and I don't know if you call.
I'm worried about the injury for Oregon. I want to know what the situation is.
Fresno State at home. That's a team that, you know what I'm saying, your quarterback had to go, you know, draft pick status. You know what I'm saying? He had to go draft pick status on them and get them out of I think it was 4-8, something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was nobody that, you know, Fresno State had everybody checked from a wide out standpoint, from a tight end standpoint. He had to go 4-8 and then he got it, and that's great, and they won the game, but there's no reason why they should be Fresno State should be hanging with them. If Oregon is to be taken as a serious contender, you know what I'm saying? So again, you know, I like I said, I think Ohio State, you know what I'm saying, whether you know what I'm saying, that, I mean, that's a chip. Again, I mean, beating the top three team in the Pac-12 is a chip on your resume, you know what I'm saying, as a check mark in the positive, you know what I'm saying, your resume bill. But, again, man, I don't know. I mean, so when I think about Ohio State versus Penn State, or Ohio State versus Wisconsin, or you know what I'm saying, Ohio State when they play Michigan, if Michigan is kind of back, they kind of look to be back, you know what I'm saying, I just don't know if they, you know what I'm saying, you say five wins, I don't know if, you know, that might be so, but again, I don't necessarily think they run the tables in the Big Ten.
Yep. Real quick, a couple of things I have written down. UTSA, I said in our preview last week, watch out for UTSA. The Illinois is not as good as what people are going to think they were. UTSA, they beat them. It was a back and forth game, and so I was really impressed with UTSA, how well they play. They got a great team. I also called, and I can't wait till Tanner gets on, the UCLA Bruins. Chip, the visor, John. I'm telling you, people got to start listening to me when it comes to these visor things and things like this.
Oh, wow.
The UCLA Bruins and their baby soft blue is what Coach O said. They put a beat down, not just a beating, a beat down on LSU. And you kind of mentioned on Twitter that Coach O, this might be the last of.
I said, you listen to certain pundits, man. The people just say stuff. I don't want to cuss, but people just say stuff, and I don't think they even believe what they're saying, man. So again, nobody, you know what I'm saying, UCLA wasn't ranked, but we all know Chip, Chip Kelly runs, you know, he's a great program builder, you know what I'm saying? Brandon, I don't necessarily think this is the death knell or for you LSU by any realm of the imagination. Are they as good as Bama? Obviously not.
No.
But did Georgia score an offensive touchdown? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, again, if you're telling me Georgia is Trump
tight, think
Trump tight and decent. Go ahead.
Right, I just think O's ran his. I think Coach O's going to run his timeout. Last season was coming off a national championship was very disappointing, and then this year already starting out rough, and the schedule doesn't get a hell of a lot easier this year. Obviously with your SEC slate, but what I'm hearing that there is a former Texas coach that would be in line for that LSU job, and Mr. Tom Herman. Should it open up?
I bet. I'm not betting anybody, but I would wager, because LSU got 2-4 SEC play starts, man. I would wager that LSU finishes at least, I know they finish better than Texas. LSU finishes better than Texas, not in the big SEC. I bet you they'll finish better than Ole Miss and
not
Florida.
A chance. Nope. Not a chance.
Watch. Watch.
We'll do a friendly wager on that. We'll do a friendly wager. We'll put it on the board. Soft bet.
I'm not saying they're going to be better. I'm not definitely not saying better than Bama.
They'll be better. They'll finish better.
Well, I'm talking about finish better or even Auburn.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think Auburn and Georgia are probably the top three teams in the SEC. And, again, I'm overlooking Texas A&M, too. You know what I mean? But again, I think LSU, before we put that dirt on them, man, again, let's let the season play out.
Yeah, absolutely. John, I want to bring up, as we're going to be talking a little bit more about these games, some of these games. By the way, if you go back and listen, because I went back and listened to the show last week, I told you to take Virginia Tech plus the points. I told you to take Virginia Tech money line, that inner Sandman against North Carolina. I just had a
great
feeling. Boy, John, that's three games there with UCLA, UTSA, and Vautech. It feels good to get those right. Feels real good, you know, and when a lot of people weren't on those type. I had a great betting weekend of college football, which was amazing. And by the way, I know you said it on Twitter, take the high road. Well, that smackdown that Rutgers gave to Temple, boy, Temple Owls, they were pretty quiet in my mentions this weekend.
Man, you tweeted the right people that had you know, saying gave you a little crap week before.
I tweeted that guy and the Temple football team.
Right. Well, Temple football program had chirped your damn self, man. So, you know, 61 points by Rutgers football won't score 61 points in the next four games. You hear me? They won't score 61 points in the next four games. So for them,
they may. They got to play Delaware coming up, John. They play Delaware in 2 weeks.
now I just say that, but you catch my drift, man. Rutgers, once Big Ten plays, man, that 61 points is going to be, you know what I'm saying, in the rear view, man. They wish they had some of that still left. But I don't know, man, maybe, you know, who knows, man. You know, maybe that dispels, you know, saying dangerous times for Northwestern and Illinois.
They just took that
come to
ass whooping. They could easily look at Rutgers' Rutgers could easily be 3-0 going into their game against Michigan. They beat Temple. They got Syracuse this week, which I love Rutgers against Syracuse at Syracuse, and then they got Delaware, and then they play at Michigan. So going to the Big House, it could be a 3-0 Rutgers. Chiano's back. I mean, so
I don't know about Syracuse. We'll see though.
Yeah. John, before we switch to the SEC real quick, you got a problem with the ACC and some people with ESPN?
Well, it's funny, man. So, again, you know, they put up – ESPN puts the ESPN and its satellites, you know what I'm saying, the ESPN radios of the world, you know what I'm saying. I listen to a lot of it just to get – you know what I'm saying, just to get to see what people are kind of talking about and what their general idea of after week one, just like everybody else, right? So, again, it's funny. So, like 3 weeks ago, before the Big Ten Alliance merger happened between the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the ACC, wasn't the temperature was that the SEC wanted Clemson and wanted Florida State and wanted, you know what I'm saying, another piece of the Miami? Didn't the SEC want them, right, to come over to join? I mean, hell, what's his name from Duke? Okay, I'm so fired up about this. Jay Billis was saying, you know what I'm saying, I think the ACC should, you know, he's a basketball guy, but he's a you know, he's a behind the scenes nerd. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, he was saying that the ACC should merger. So how is it that once the ACC says, you know what, thanks but no thanks, we're gonna go in a different direction, after 1 week, now the Big Ten folks are saying the ACC is trash because Clemson scheduled a great game against Georgia? The ACC is trash? Ladies and gentlemen, you better look at the Pac-12 and see who they play, okay? Because like we said, like me and Brandon said last week, versus Clemson versus Georgia, whoever wins that game, that's not a bad loss, because that's a three versus a five, I do believe, at the time that they play, right? Who the hell did Washington lose to? Pac-12 team, Montana. That's some stink that UCLA, unfortunately, and USC, when they have to play them, they got to – yeah, they'll win, but that doesn't help their cause if they lose a game here or there to, let's say, Arizona State, or lose a game to a Notre Dame. That doesn't help their cause because Washington – both Washington teams stink, right? So,
yep.
And so does Arizona. You heard me? So does California. You heard me? Oregon just barely dodged a bullet, ladies and gentlemen. And Oregon State, if they had to beat Purdue, yeah, that kind of would have helped their cause. But, again, that's almost a nullifying game. So, again, I just don't know how, after 1 week, what I do, because they didn't join the alliance.
Overreaction Monday.
Yeah, it's overreaction, but they didn't join the SEC alliance at all. And we all know ESPN is not allowed to talk about the Big 12 negatively anyway, per the cease and desist order. So, ladies and gentlemen, please don't get it twisted. Again, Florida State, they'll be there. Miami, though they're not as good as Alabama, I would say Miami is probably just as good as Minnesota. Okay? So at least that's a great scheduled game. It's not a cupcake game at all. It's not a cupcake game for Alabama. It's definitely not a cupcake game for the Hurricanes. They got to handle their business now. You know what I'm saying? They got to play Notre Dame. I'm sorry. They got to beat potentially, you know what I'm saying, keep Virginia Tech from running the tables. And hopefully, you know what I'm saying, when they play Clemson, maybe they, you know what I'm saying? So, again, this ACC business, again, they still – you know what's crazy, Brandon? I could ramble on and on. The ACC still got four teams in the top 25. They had the worst weekend where ESPN said the ACC is trash, and then they, all subsequently, anybody who listens to ESPN, you're duped by it, you're yourself saying it. But the championship committee, who don't got no dog in the fight other than, you know what I'm saying, the network that they're responsible for putting on great championship games, they say, guess what? The ACC still got some viability. So, again, you know what? Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who's spewing. That's all I'm saying. Be careful who's spewing what and why. That's what I was
saying.
ESPN wanted the ACC, guarantee you. And when they told him no, hell, Paul, remember? But hold on, Brandon. Remember Paul Feinbaum when he heard about the Big Ten Alliance? He said, ain't that a waste of time? Wouldn't he say that? Of course he would say that. He works for ESPN. Of course he would say that. He's an SEC, I won't say puppet, because that's what he is. Guess what, America? We pull that curtain behind. And the SEC and ESPN work, they're buddies. It is what it is.
Oh,
and the reason why Brandon's
God.
Laughing because he'll co-sign it. I'll leave it at that.
Well, it's that, and I'm also making sure we can get cut off the air like we normally do with ESPN talks, you know.
I don't care, man. They can't stop the people's program.
No, I agree. We got two callers. We'll take them momentarily, but real quick before we do that, John, I do want to bring up our top tens. Each week, myself and Jonathan are going to bring up our top tens. It's on the Facebook Live page right now. Our top 10 rankings each week, and kind of go from there. Looking at it, if you're listening to it, we'll talk it through. If you're on Facebook Live, you'll see it. We both got Alabama at number one, right now. John, you have Ohio State at number two. I actually moved Georgia up to number two with beating a top five team. I've got them up at number two. We both have you actually have Ohio State at your number two spot. So we both agree with Oklahoma at the number three spot, falling down a spot with their scary win against Tulane this past weekend. And then I have Ohio State at four. You have Georgia, so there's our swap there. We both have Texas A&M at five. I have Clemson, even though they lost to a tough, tough Georgia team who I've picked to go to the national championship. I have Clemson still at number six. You have Notre Dame at six. I have Iowa State at seven. And you have Clemson at seven with their loss. So there's only one spot back there. We both have Cincinnati, and then I have Notre Dame at nine. You have, for some reason, you have LSU at number nine, which I'm gonna put you on the burner for this one. And then we both have Penn State at 10. So number one, I want to have a question: is why does LSU, who got a thorough beatdown against a UCLA squad, deserve to be in the top 10 where they weren't even ranked in the top 10 before the season started?
Brandon,
and where is Iowa State? Iowa State won.
Brandon,
where are they at in this?
Brandon's a typo, man. It should have been ISU. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. It should have been.
Okay.
I typed it. I'm sorry, man.
My friends from Ames, Iowa were asking. So I saw
typo,
ISU,
man.
And I said, how the hell do you lose and move into the top 10? So I said, I'm going to save this for the show.
No, man. It should have been ISU, dude. before you get fired up before I got LSU. Again, I don't think LSU. I think LSU still got a couple of dogs fighting that, that dog for the rest of the regular season. But top 10, as far as this debate is concerned, no. So again, that should be Iowa State. I'm sorry.
All right. So Ames, Iowa people, just relax. Jonathan believes you're in the top 10, even with your win. They got a great one this weekend. I like against Iowa. So it's the Hawk. The Carver, the Cyhawk bull, I think is what it is they have. But yeah, overall, I like it. Naturally, I picked them to go to the national championship before the season, but I like Georgia. That's why I moved them up to number two. They play well. They survived. If Iverson or Iverson get hurt, I think it would be a little bit tougher for Iowa State, but they would have still won. I will say, Alabama, they looked good. Now, is it just how bad Miami really is, or is Alabama that damn good? I think it could be Alabama's good. I said initially beginning of the season, I didn't think they'd be in the College Football Four. Maybe they'll be in there.
I knew they would still be stalwarts defensively. They didn't lose everything defensively. They did get a new quarterback. You can see he's special. You know what I'm saying? Hell, Paul Feinbaum already, after one game, put him in the damn Heisman Trophy.
Yeah,
Heisman Trophy room.
Saw that.
So again, but again, man, not with me, say in Alabama in any form of way, as they've reloaded. If Penn State, Penn State and Wisconsin was a great game. It was offensive. It was an offensively challenging type of game.
Yep.
Texas A&M, good, but I'd like to see more. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised. Penn State, they play Ball State this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if Penn State at some point in the next 2 weeks, I think they'd be undefeated within the next 2 weeks. I think we'll be talking about them in the top 10 for sure. I know it's crazy, man. Iowa State, they've got a dynamic running back in Bernard. He's probably going to be top 10, when the draft comes around. I expect some slippers, though, man. I really do. Just looking at that list, man, because, again, Cincinnati's got some hella games on their schedule. They got Notre Dame. They've got Indiana. And Texas A&M, man, do you trust them? Do you trust
them? Right.
I said, I don't know. I just don't.
And I think that's where I saw Alabama with when they had to go to Texas A&M here in this season. That's where I thought the slip up might be, and then possibly Georgia when they had to play them, and I think it's the SEC championship or so it'd be. But I just JT Daniels, he didn't have a great game, and just as much as we're saying, John, after these teams have a bad loss or so, that people are saying the ACC is dead and. It's overreaction Monday, so the people that lost, but it's also a little overreaction for the people that won, and they barely won. I think we need to start seeing some consistency play before we really get a true feel and not sit there and watch an ESPN show, or shout out Ricochet Shot ESPN, where they're going to talk 2 hours just about how Oklahoma almost lost, but and are they the real deal? We'll see. We'll see. Plenty to tell there. We'll take our first call real quick. King Controls, Reggie Sykes.
Hey, man, what's going on, man? Hey, man, Jonathan Bird's son needs to eat 2 Snicker bars because he ain't himself. Evidently, Jonathan don't know sports, man. He's talking all this stuff about ESPN is a SEC people and all that. It's about the money. It's about the money. You
Red.
Know, they hope the ACC lowers their calls, and they hope the SEC don't go no higher. They want to be the exclusive provider for the SEC, and that's going to cost a lot of money. But they can't because SEC have their own TV channel. So, Jonathan, I don't listen to you too much.
Brandon.
Because you picked Pac-Man
Brandon.
To win his fight.
Brandon,
I told you Pac-Man wasn't going to win his fight.
Brandon, would you
I
tell
told
him right
you
there,
Pac-Man.
Who, Brandon, who
I
Brandon,
told you
Brandon,
on Twitter, Pac-Man was going to win his spot.
Brandon, tell your buddy,
and then looking
who
at your
SEC
college,
network?
Looking at your college football
ESPN.
Team, I mean, they was kind of, you know,
hello,
stuck like
Derek Brandon,
Cox.
Did you hear what
yes.
Brandon said? Brandon, did you hear what Brandon just said? Who owns the SEC network?
The SEC network is owned by ESPN.
Oh, it is?
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, well, of course
I know.
Don't.
Oh,
they don't
it is?
SEC.
Yes.
But you can't be mad. You can't be mad about propping up your own brand. That's their brand. Just like players prop up their brand. You can't be mad about that, man. You can't be mad about that.
The story changes now. The narrative changes now, man. Thank you.
We all know ESPN is biased. Yeah.
Reggie, hold on, Brandon. Reggie thinks Jadeveon Clowney is a difference maker. Talk about that, Reg.
No, I didn't say he was a difference maker. I said he could be productive. Because those two years in Houston, he was very productive.
Stop.
He'll I didn't say he was a difference maker.
When he fails in Seattle, when he fails Cleveland, they'll be looking for another pass rush. My guy ain't had four sacks. The stats don't lie. Remember, the stats don't lie. See, my guy ain't had four sacks in two seasons, Brent. It's two seasons.
Hey, sometimes it's not the player. Sometimes it's the system that they have you in. You know, look at Jerry Hughes when we drafted him. We thought he was going to be a perfect outside rusher. He didn't do jack until, like, it's been for 6 years. You know, and he always played good against the coach until,
you
let him go, you know?
You're telling me Jadeveon County going to make Cleveland better. Stop it.
It's a possibility. We'll see. You know, that's another pass rusher they have on there, you know?
You know what?
And I hate Cleveland.
Red,
you know?
They got a scheme. There's a reason why he's playing team for team. They got a scheme to stop him, man. Okay? Jadeveon County. What happens in Cleveland is going to come down to the quarterback and the running backs. It ain't got nothing to do with Jadeveon Clowney. Not enough.
Well, you can't. You got to have a little bit of a defense. You just can't have all offense. That's been proven that
they
all
do.
Offense. That's proven that all offense don't. That's proven that all offense don't win championships. You know, that's been a proven. You got to have somewhat a little bit. Defense,
I got you.
You know,
Brandon.
And then
Reggie's
here you are talking
with,
about ACC
fan,
and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech may not even win another game, man. I mean, they look good, and I don't agree with y'all putting Alabama number one. I put Georgia number one. Miami was highly overrated.
Stop it.
I blame Brian Kelly on losing my bet by trying to blow Florida State out.
I actually blame yourself. I blame you because if you would have listened to me, you wouldn't be in this predicament. I went 16-4 this weekend.
He came up to Harper's
and told me don't cancel the bet. Now listen to his dumb butt. You see,
listen
he
to me,
Bridge. Listening to that dumb.
16-4
right,
last week. 16-4 last week. Overall, 19-5 so far.
What was Jonathan's record last
week? Well, that's in my betting. Our game we chose together. Jonathan went 4-5. I went 7-2 in our 9 games.
I think on y'all Facebook page, it should be me, you, Jonathan, Gerald Cox, maybe two other people. And each week you pick 7 games like y'all doing now or 8 games, and we all go through our picks. Because I know I can outpick Gerald Cott, and I know I can outpick Jonathan Birdsong. I know this is a fact.
Reg, before we go, because we have a shorter show tonight, but unfortunately, I got to know your thoughts and predictions for this weekend, Colts in Seattle.
Colts, 28-17. Our offense is going to be high-powered. We're going to be okay. I'm telling you, our defense, they may not score 17 points, but our defense is just that good. The only position I worry about on defense is backup safety. I mean, our defense is all that. And I know you're going against Seattle Wilson and everything, and I know the stuff he's done in the past, but like you putting Javon Clowney on the back end of his career, I'm putting Wilson on the back end of his career. The Colts, 28-14.
I got 23 to or I got 24-13 Seahawks.
Who's the starting quarterback? Who's the starting quarterback?
Carson Wentz is starting.
Stop it.
Carson Wentz is playing Sunday.
Is he? He got his shot?
I don't know. You don't have a shot to play. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got jokes. All right. Y'all laugh now. I laugh last. Just remember that. You guys have a great day.
See you, Reggie. All right. That's Reggie Sykes. Go to our second call. We had on hold. Decot, what's going on?
Man, I'm so glad you didn't put me on with that clown, man. I have, that's the best. I'm so glad I called in when I did. Perfect time.
Decot,
man.
I don't
necessarily
always doing all right, man. I don't necessarily always agree with everything that you say, but at least it comes with some type of logic. Okay,
man.
So for the last caller, come in and say I got a problem with you making Alabama number one, and then they go out here and handle business against the cream of the crop of the ACC is almost ridiculous.
That's because he stays in his feelings, man. He goes with his heart, not his head, and that gets him on the tail end a lot of times. He'll be all right though, man. So I know you guys are recapping college, but I missed the first hour because I was out of the dang on backyard. So where are we at? Are we on the number one rating deal? Are we talking ACC is going to be stretched to get somebody in the playoffs? I still say if Clemson runs the table, they're in the playoffs. I don't see there being an issue whatsoever.
Right.
Clemson right now. People saying,
right,
well, the ACC this. Man, listen, if Clemson runs the table, they're in the playoffs. Anybody want to bet me, I'll bet them.
Yep,
so
they're in.
I think that's the case. I think Georgia has put in a strong case for their team, and here's why I like Georgia. Because Georgia top two receivers didn't play. Their second string running back, their second string tight end didn't play. Somebody else on defense. They had about seven guys that were out for that game. So I think Georgia goes, in spite of Kirby kind of choking up, you know, towards the latter part of the season, I think Georgia is prime, man, to give my boys a run for their money. I mean, listen, we're not
– Jonathan, tell him what I told you before a couple weeks ago, before the season started.
There's no way Alabama only scores 3 points, first of all, okay? That ain't happening. If Georgia don't hang 28, they're going to lose.
I hear you.
This is probably two of the top defenses in college football. They've got to score a minimum of 28 to win.
Caught 3 weeks ago, I had Georgia as my number one team to win the national championship this year.
Man,
you said Oklahoma. You said them in Oklahoma. You said
right, I had them in Oklahoma in the championship.
Well,
but,
I'm sure you
I love
Oklahoma
Georgia.
I'm sure you took Oklahoma off the docket after this weekend's little blank show they laid. So don't Oklahoma's out the window. We can talk about the betting scene at a later time. But I like the four teams I like is Georgia. I like Bama.
I just don't know. When I look at the landscape of the SEC, okay, there are some dangerous teams, and they will nitpick at one another. Can Alabama and Georgia, by the time the SEC championship, I'm going to say those are the two best teams, okay? But there's
right.
other teams in that conference. I'm still saying LSU is going to still be able to maybe bite off a little bit here or there. I'm still saying, you know, Texas A&M is going to bite off here or there. You know what I'm saying? I know, forget Auburn. I think they're going to bite off here and there. So, you know,
here's what I would say, Jonathan. I like where you're going, but you got to put Ole Miss in, take Auburn and LSU out. I'm going to tell you two reasons why.
Wow.
LSU's coaching is about as good as Notre Dame's coaching. You all seen my rant today, I'm
Whoa.
Sure. Absolutely. They're in the same boat. Notre Dame coaching and LSU coaching is in the same boat. So there's no way either of those teams are going to beat Alabama. The team I worry about in the SEC with Alabama is Ole Miss, and here's why. Not because, you know, oh, they're so much better. They've got confidence. They've got a coach who doesn't give a damn, who's going to throw it all out there at you, right? And those players
sure.
have confidence. And he knows Nick Saban and what he wants to do on defense just as well as pretty much anybody. And I understand he wasn't with him for 15 years, and I'll get all that. But he knows what he wants to do.
They put a lot of points on them last year.
Exactly. The put a lot of points on everybody last year. And I'm not, but understand, just because they beat an outmanned Louisville team, don't start thinking, oh wow, they've got a defense. No, they played Louisville.
Right.
Okay. Louisville was
right.
was as nervous as a long tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs at the start of that game. So I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. So I'm not concerned about Florida. At all, it's Georgia and Bama are the class. And I know we talked about Texas A&M. They're nice. They're a nice story, but they're not ready yet. Texas, I think it's Georgia, Alabama. The third team is Texas A&M. And then the fourth team is probably Florida. After that, and then, you,
wow.
again, like I said, you got Ole Miss. But those are five teams right there.
I think my go-to loss.
Go ahead, Brent.
You kind of were talking, just to answer, giving my thoughts. College football playoff now, if I'm looking at it, and you hate to say it because it's repetitious every year, and I always say it's the Alabama, Clemson, and Invitational, and who are the other two teams that are going to join us. So I actually think it's going to end up being Alabama, it's going to be Clemson, it's going to be either Ohio State or Oklahoma or whoever that third, and then Georgia. Georgia's a guaranteed team. If Georgia loses at the end of the season, John, there's no way. It makes regular season irrelevant. If Georgia goes all season and runs the table and then loses to Alabama, Clemson goes and runs the title to Alabama, and they put Clemson
Brandon,
ahead of Georgia, that means the regular season doesn't mean jack.
Right. Don't tell me. Don't tell Decott because he knows. But you got to tell all these other SEC marks that think that, you know what I'm saying, like a two-loss SEC team, they're not getting in.
The only chance any two-loss team has to make it in the playoffs is their name starts with an A and it ends with Bama. Anybody else beyond that, it doesn't even have a chance. And here's why. Because of that conference. Because Ohio State, it's Ohio State, they're the cream of the crop, clearly in the Big Ten. Penn State had a nice win against Wisconsin, but let's be serious. I mean, there's a clear cut there, right? So then there's a big drop-off. Same thing with the Pac-12. Similar with the ACC, similar with the Big 12. The only league that doesn't hold true is in the SEC. And if there's going to be a two-loss team, it'll be Bama. And I'm going to tell you this, I wouldn't be surprised if Bama loses two games. Yes, I said it. I wouldn't be surprised because, to your point, it's everybody's Super Bowl or NCAA title game, and at some point there's going to be a point where this play here, this play there can make a difference. And again, Alabama is going to have a target on their back all season, but it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think Florida will get them. I think there's a chance A&M has an opportunity to make hay with them, in my humble mm-hmm. opinion. And I think Ole Miss has a real chance because they can score. I really believe that, man. I mean, again, I don't think either team is more talented than Bama, but I think these guys are going to be so gassed up. We'll just kind of see how it goes. The key would be how the quarterback for Bama plays. If he plays under no stress, under control, and goes with the game plan, they're going to be tough to beat. But they've got to get a better running game. I know they ran the ball pretty decent, but Miami was like a donut,
yeah.
Okay? They've got to run the ball. They've got to run between the tackles, man. And they didn't do that the other night. They didn't do that. And that's a challenge, in my opinion. But we'll see what happens. But I look forward to it, though, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an interesting cut. I said I love Georgia beforehand. I think Georgia ends up being in there. If Georgia runs the table and loses one game, Clemson runs the table, still has their loss to Georgia. There's no way the committee can sit there and put Georgia or Clemson over Georgia when they do that football playoffs. Clemson might be the number four, and then it's going to come down to Ohio State, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma for that fourth and final spot.
Well, let me ask you this. I think you can throw Oklahoma in the garbage, and I think you can throw Pac-12 in the garbage. I'm praying that Notre Dame runs the table. I'm praying that they run the table, and here's why. Because what they did to me this weekend was blasphemous. I want them to run the table and get stomped by 40 points in the playoffs. They deserve that.
If Notre Dame run the table, that will hold well for two SEC teams to get in.
Yeah, but
because
if Notre Dame runs the table, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah. That means the Big Ten champion goes in. They're not leaving the Big Ten champion. Whether you think it's Ohio State, Penn State, or the Big Ten champion is in.
It'll
you
be
book,
Ohio
you can,
State.
You can book that.
Here's your problem. Now, the only way Clemson, a one-loss Clemson team or a one-loss Georgia team doesn't get in, then you got Bama as a one-loss team, is Notre Dame, to your point, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Now you got to pick two out of these three, Bama, Georgia, or Clemson. How do you pick them, and what's the dynamic?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's going to be a nice finish to the season, y'all. This is probably going to be the most exciting college football season we've had probably since the first Final Four, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Florida State, Oregon, Bama, and Ohio State was in. I think this looks like that to me. There's about probably seven teams or eight teams that are probably legitimately could have a case to be in the Final Four when it's all said and done. And that makes it makes for great talk, you know, and all that good stuff. But I still say the team is going to hold up the glass. Football is going to be coming from somewhere in the SEC. I think the talent gap is too big.
Yep. Hey, Cott, I know you were frustrated. I know you. Before we let you go, I know you were frustrated this weekend with some of your bets, and I appreciate the invite to the group.
No doubt.
Cott, I'm telling you right now, my man, 6-4 this past week, 19-5 overall. I'm hot.
Oh,
I'm hot.
Man, I'm telling you, the reason why I posted that today, man, was because those three games would have put me, I think, at, as far as parlay is concerned, five out of eight.
You got to stay out of those. You got to stay out of those parlays. I know they're cute and they're sexy, but.
Oh, man. Well, we'll talk because that's why I put you in there, man, so we can kind of share some stuff, man, and hopefully we can all bring a little bit of dough home.
Sounds good. All right, D-Cott.
Sure. Hey, you guys be safe, man. Love the show.
All right. See you, buddy. All right. That's D-Cott. Go to our last call we got right now. KFAB Connection, Fred Fellner. What's going on, Fred?
Hey, what's happening, man? Just sat through 30 minutes of ranting about college football to talk about wrestling.
There you go. All for you.
It's all good, Fred, man. I already lost my mind, man. I unfortunately watched the Notre Dame and Florida State game, so I kind of caught the highlights of All Out. I know you and Brandon kind of watched it, you know what I'm saying? Bo, I know you were there. But, like, yeah, man, another wrestling buddy of mine said it was on WrestleMania 3 levels of that damn good. So I'll let both of you just take it over.
For sure. Real quick on that, and I'll let you kind of tell your perspective, Fred, on it. I thought Punk's match, I thought it was a good match for Punk to come back to. A lot of good moves with Darby Allin. I think it made both of them. It didn't make Darby look weak. You know, Punk made him look good. I think in the end, it was a great finish. I love that match. My favorite match of the entire night was the Lucha Brothers, the tag title match to win. That was hands down a 5-star match, I told Jonathan, I thought. And to me, it stole the show match-wise. And between that, I was surprised with Adam Cole coming out. And I thought, okay, well, he signed Adam. That'll be the end of it. And then when Kenny started doing his little thing, I said, well, shit, they ain't going to leave it like this. And then when Bryan Danielson obviously came out, I said, wow, they went ahead and just pulled the trigger now and said, let's do it. Great, 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 I thought, surprises with that. The Lucha match, hands down, I thought it was one of the greatest matches I've seen in a tag title match. So, Freddie, I know you had a great time there with all your pictures, Fred. What's your thoughts, my man?
The whole day was just electric, man. It just was. You could just feel it, too. There's certain shows like Mania 18 in Toronto, you know, walking over there and seeing everybody dressed up like Hogan and, you know, it kind of being split down the middle, and then you get in there and let's go Hogan, let's go Rock. Like, you could just feel, you know, the electricity in it. It was the same thing. We tailgated beforehand. And let the crowd kind of go in when the doors opened. And, man, it was just it's so much fun. I encourage everyone to make the trip to Chicago Labor Day weekend. Forget your lame, you know, boat outings or whatever, a barbecue. Like, go to Chicago for All Out. I can't stress it enough. The matches top to bottom, I enjoyed it. The only thing that was really filler was the Big Show QT Marshall match, and it was what it was. I went to the bathroom. Like, it let me go to the bathroom and collect my thoughts, which, on a funny note on that, we went to a suite halfway through the show because my buddy had a suite up there, and we went to go on a bathroom break during the Big Show match, and dude, who other than Dave Meltzer himself urinating a couple urinals down from us, he yelled out, "Hey, I give his piss 4 stars," and everybody in the bathroom died laughing. It was hilarious. I'm sure he felt really uncomfortable. But yeah, the Bucks Lucha Bros match was one of the greatest tag team matches I've ever seen in my life. It surely will go down as match of the year. I know I was there too for the Hangman Omega Bucks match at Revolution, the pay-per-view like right before COVID hit, and everybody was saying that was like a top five of all time match. This one superseded that one. This one ousted that one out of the list. Absolutely incredible. Phoenix is, dare say, getting on that Rey Mysterio level as far as luchadors go. And just the risk-taking that those guys take. I loved the freaking Travis Scott fragment Jordans with the thumbtack. That was a little nod to the PWG days when Matt just brutalized Candice LeRae with one of those shoes. But, yeah, that I agree with you, man. And the surprises were great. And there were some other ones, too. There's other notable ones, like Ruby Soho was great.
Yep.
The fact that Rancid gave her the blessing to use that song, and it just, it fits her. The crowd's behind it. It's another, like, the crowd's going to sing type, you know, theme. And it's a great addition to the women's roster. So maybe, hopefully, all the scuttlebutt about, oh, the AEW women's roster isn't good, maybe that'll kind of die down after this point. Because Statlander and Britt had a great match. And you could kind of tell the writing was on the wall with Cole with the Pittsburgh Sunrise. Like, did you think that, too? When she hit that move, you're like, all right, Cole's got to come out today.
Yeah. I was a little, I liked the MJF Jericho match. I thought it was all right. And the finish that we all needed to see, that way Jericho's not done. And then I was a little upset though, cause I,
finish,
on TV version of it, that yes, that, and the intro for Jericho, I don't know how it sounded in the
kind
arena.
Kind of lackluster. Yeah,
yes,
very much lackluster.
So.
Yeah.
So it, yeah, on TV, it was very lackluster. I was trying to show my girlfriend kind of that the entrance and all that, and they did that. I said, well, hell, this ain't going to show anything with it.
Yeah. Yeah, but, so. I mean, I actually enjoyed the match. The finish was kind of, you know, I was honestly hoping MJF would win. And could really elevate MGF to a level where he could brag that Jericho never beat him, you know, and have that bragging right. But MGF will be fine. He can take a loss to Jericho, and his character's fine. So I didn't mind that at all. But that match actually exceeded my expectations. Going back to Punk, I mean, the energy there, it was just surreal, man. I never in a million years thought I would ever see him wrestle again. And so being in his hometown and just the support – and a nice little touch, the guys in my suite, they had the Chicago flag when he came out, and then when he beat Darby, they flew the W. So we had a couple W flags in our suite, so that was really cool. Nice little touch. You kind of figured with Omega Christian going on last that they had something up their sleeve.
Right.
And
I thought the placement of
that
was weird.
That match, the crowd was dead. The crowd was dead for that match. Between the Bucks and Punk, it was like they were on fire for like the whole show. People just didn't have any more gas left in the tank. Like,
and it was a long pay-per-view. It was long. I took a break during the Big Show match. I did.
Yeah.
Sorry about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I went down for ice cream bars during the women's battle royal, and then I went to the bathroom for the Big Show match. That was really it. Those were the only times I left my seat. But, yeah, I think the ending last night to put a bow on All Out, I feel that they've gotten flack over the last year with certain finishes, you know, the blood and guts finish, you know, the fall that looked silly on the crash pad. And the exploding barbed wire match and the dud that never exploded. They got this one right. And
yep.
There might be people that will debate today and this week that, oh, they kind of blew their, you know, wad too soon with bringing both out. I disagree. I think what better time to do it than in front of a hot crowd? This is your biggest pay-per-view of the year. What better way to just really double down on the whole event? And everybody expected Danielson. Like, you heard the crowd. We were chanting yes. Like, as soon as Elite came down, we're like, okay, they're going to beat up Christian. Bryan Danielson's going to make the save. The whole crowd starts chanting yes as soon as Kenny gets the mic. I love the fact that they swerved everybody and it was Adam Cole. I wasn't expecting it. And everybody went nuts. The roof went off that place. And if you notice, he totally walks through the heel entrance. And I did not pick that up until I watched it back on pay-per-view last night. I actually watched
it
back
on
TV last night. Yeah, so he actually walks out through the heel entrance when he came into the ring. And I just – the whole thing, the Adam Cole baby with the whole crowd doing unison and them teasing like he's going to confront the Elite. He super kicks Jungle Boy. It looks like that's going to be the first feud we get with Adam Cole, which you know that match is going to be a banger and a great dance partner to have for his first match in the company. So a great baby face, and Adam Cole is a great heel.
Yeah, I also loved I also loved Moxley's match, and the sport we got there at the end of that one.
Dude, Minoru Suzuki coming out, like, there were a couple people behind us that were like, who is that? And it just irked me to know.
Right.
It irked me to no end. I'm like, how do you, this is a legend. But hearing Minoru Suzuki and being able to sing, you know, Kaze ni Nare with at like 10,000 people at the same, like, that was such a great thing. I kind of had a feeling somebody from New Japan was going to come on. It might be him. But that was just a nice cherry on top to the other debuts from, you know, three other people. It was nice to see Suzuki. And now we get a match tomorrow night with him and Mox.
Yep.
So, is this going to be a one-time thing? Is Suzuki going to be around for, like, more, you know, shows stateside?
Yeah.
Because Japan right now is kind of in the thick of things with COVID, so maybe he's just going to camp out in the States and we're going to get him as, like, an actual guy in the company. So that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Resurgence to his career, you know?
Yeah. John, what was your thoughts from, I guess, the results you saw and what you've read?
Just watching the highlights, man, it sounded like the Big Show match was Big Show QT Marshall was the time to take a siesta to the restroom, right? But other than that, man, I didn't hear anything like that they were over entertained or anything like that. I think it's more so like once everything the dust settled, you know what I'm saying? Miro had a great match, like I said, with Eddie Kingston. I'm trying to think what else, you know what I'm saying? Hell, everybody wasn't even there. I don't even think Cody Rhodes was there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think what people are kind of wanting to see happen is, like, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen Wednesday on Dynamite? And what's potentially going to even happen going on Friday? So, you know what I'm saying? They got a lot of heat, you know what I'm saying, going into the rest of this week, man, and seeing where, you know what I'm saying, storylines kind of go. And if the Young Bucks do take some time off, you know what I'm saying, and like who's the next opponent? I know who's the next opponent as far as Lucha Brothers is concerned tomorrow. But do Santana Ortiz, do they finally get into the mix with them? Like, what kind of match can they have? You know what I'm saying? So the potential of matches, you know what I'm saying, what Tony Khan has kind of done is from a matchmaker standpoint, I get it. You know what I'm saying? People have kind of crapped on what he's done from a storytelling point. I think there's something that he needs, you know what I'm saying? Again, you know, most of the people they're talking about as a storyteller are, you know, Kevin Dunn and Bruce Pritchard and Jim Corey, guys that, you know what I'm saying, who are long in the tooth or are out of, you know what I'm saying, or just, it ain't 1988 anymore, you know what I'm saying? These are the guys that are the most critical about his storytelling. But his matchmaking is grade A, and everybody's kind of universal on that. So once the storytelling part, the drama that is, you know what I'm saying, sports entertainment that we all kind of love, once that kind of catches up to what he's put together as far as matchmaking and who he's for, remember that, hell, we're talking about the Forbidden Door, you know what I'm saying? So who knows? Hell, Nick Aldis might show up at some point or hope at some point, you know, Jay Lethal, you know what I'm saying? But again, until all those other dominoes kind of fall, man, it's kind of great to see, you know what I'm saying, a guy like Adam Cole, who everybody said should have moved up over a year and a half ago to either brand, whether it's SmackDown or Raw.
Bird, I didn't mean to cut you off, but did you, no, this is so ridiculous, I had to ask you, did you hear about, and this was confirmed from multiple sources, did you hear what Vince McMahon's pitch and creative's pitch was to Adam Cole before he left and cut ties?
Uh-uh.
They wanted Adam Cole to be a heel manager on SmackDown. A manager. And they didn't want him to have his Twitch. So how easy do you think it was to put the pen to paper on the AEW contract for Adam Cole?
Right, right.
Like,
the
blasphemy.
I'll tell you what, we have to remember, even the great Raven, Johnny Polo, was a manager at some point. but again, you see where Vince McMahon's mind is at. That was over 30 years ago. You know what I'm saying? You can't. That, how much heat did he have when he had that match against Pat McAfee? Automatically,
right.
They kind of just let go by the wayside. They let it
right.
You let it go to Puts, and you know what I'm saying?
If,
you made him fall back.
Yeah.
So again, man, I would assume. You know what? I would assume Tony Khan would be calling Pat McAfee. Next. You know what I'm saying? So,
dude,
I'll be honest with you.
Dude, put it this way. If we were playing pick-up basketball and we were captains, I would be picking Adam Cole first and hoping if I didn't pick him first that you wouldn't pick him second because I would get him third. That's the level of talent that Adam Cole has. And the fact that this guy doesn't see that is indicative of his whole vision of where that company is going. And I'll say this, man. All these other companies that have come through in the past, WCW, ECW, TNA, you know, Ring of Honor's more independent. They're not really a bigger promotion, but you get
right.
the drift, right? All of these
yep.
promotions have served as quote-unquote alternatives. Honestly, the way I see it now, WWE is a professional wrestling alternative. They have now become the thing that everybody else used to be. Now we have a actual viable professional wrestling company that has wrestling and wrestling matches, and it's not a ton of promos and like community theater inside of a ring. Now
right.
we have a wrestling company. WWE is a TV show about wrestling. It is not a wrestling company. So that's the kind of the irony that we're faced with now with the you know, development of AEW. And this company is 2 years old, dude. It's crazy. And the fact that
right.
they could land Punk, Brian, Cole, we said it, you know, the other night when we were leaving the arena, they'll never be able to top this show. We just saw the best show they'll ever put on. There's a perfect storm of all those things happening and the level of talent that debuted. And, you know, the whole storyline with Punk and 7 years, they will never be able to top that. So now it's going to be like we kind of got to match or at least get to a-minus level of a pay-per-view to really keep that lightning and that momentum going.
Yep.
One last thing on this wrestling topic. I don't know if you have any sound bites for breaking news, Brandon, but this just came across my desk just now. I got some hot, there we go, breaking wrestling news. We got Twitter news here. Fight Owens Fight on Twitter. Kevin Owens, formerly known as Kevin Steen, tweeted out some numbers. 43.8791, 103.4591. If you paid attention in junior high, those are coordinates. And if you know your geography, those are the coordinates of Mount Rushmore. And if you know your indie wrestling, back in the day in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, there was a little stable known as Mount Rushmore that included Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, Adam Cole, and Kevin Steen.
Ooh.
Wow.
Oh, man.
We might get a Fight Steen Fight.
Oh.
AEW.
I love
Fred,
it.
We don't have enough time to dig into that, man, but we will. Before we let you go, though, I got to say, man, at 1 o'clock this weekend, I'm taking the Lions to play Spoilers. Even though it's a home game, I'm taking the Lions to play Spoilers against San Francisco. I don't think San Francisco still got their quarterback who they wanted to be just yet, but so I'm taking the Lions.
Whew, man, I will take it. I need all the help I can get this weekend. For me, realistic expectations, the only other team that's going to suck worse is in Houston. So I feel like we're a bona fide number two pick in the draft this year. Any more wins than four, cool. It's more than I expected. I'm just going to take it. But I will watch every Sunday because I'm a Lions fan born in Lions land, Pontiac, Michigan representing. So I'm going to watch my team. But, man, my hopes
All
are
right.
very low. So.
Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah,
sounds
enjoy
good.
Enjoy all the football this weekend, fellas. I know I will. Roar, go blue. And, yeah, hopefully no more arguments tonight on the show. Can't we all just get along?
I can't guarantee that.
Absolutely. All right, Fred. Take care,
all
my
right,
guy.
Fellas. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Fred Fellner, KFAP Connection. We're going to do a quick ad read. We come back. We got our college football betting guru with us, Tanner Penrod. He'll be joining us here momentarily after we come back.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Ideas are created, dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Like I said, they have custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting on your vehicle, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out. Give them a call, 833-SHOT-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or check them out, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, John, we are back. We're going to bring our guy on here. Let me see here. We'll just give it a quick one tonight. Our nature boy, limousine riding, Tanner Penrod. What's going on, my guy?
How's it going, fellas?
It's good. It's good. Just about as good as my picks this past weekend, guys.
Oh, my God. No. I'll let your pick slide this week.
Hey, I got to take it while I can because I know at some point it's going to be a downhill. It'll be downhill at some point.
No, yeah. I got backdoored on a couple, but I'll let them slide. I'm not going to bitch about those, but it could have went a couple other ways.
Yeah, our Ball State pick, we all three took. Ball State couldn't cover. My God, I was worried they were going to win the freaking game for a bit.
Before you even say anything, Penn State by a zillion. Oh, wow.
Oh.
For next week. For next week, Penn State by a zillion.
Uh-oh.
I hope that I don't care if that spread's 56, Penn State.
Well, I guess we already know where Tanner's at on that one. We'll go ahead and real quick recap. All three of us had the Ohio State game on the backdoor cover. They won by 14. We had it at 13.5 when we made our picks. Jonathan, you had the Penn State one. Me and Tanner had the Wisconsin. Me and Tanner then had the Iowa, while John had his Hoosiers and shit in one hand, hope in the other. See which one fills up.
Yep. Let's just talk about my golden pick. How bad was that? That Notre Dame beat fucking up 18 in the fourth. Come
yeah.
on now.
Let's go State. Cover for me. I love that.
The
Boilermakers covering.
I heard you like. Yeah, you love those backdoors sliding in there. Yeah, the Boilermakers, if they don't run that zero defense and they stop them there, that goes in my way too, Reed.
Yep. Oh, I know. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I got it. Hey, I told you UCLA, them Bruins, the baby.
I gave you the props on that. I'll wear that one.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that loss.
Hey, you know,
I'm fine with that.
I have to take it
I'm
while I can
that.
Because.
I'm fine with that loss and with the Wisconsin thing. They got beat, too. I'm not even mad about – I took L's on both. I'm good with that.
I got to take it while I can because I'm sure it probably won't last very much longer. So let's dive in, guys. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Another 9-pack, 9 games this week. It's a harder slate with us getting spread this early, too. So
hit me with all the games.
Yes, first one starts at noon.
Sure.
Number 11, Oregon at number 4, Ohio State. Ohio State's a 14-point favorite. Oh, my God. I was going to take Oregon, but with it being a 12 o'clock noon game, which is a 9 o'clock game out west, give me the Buckeyes by the 14 at least.
I got Ohio State. I think Oregon. They're not necessarily in fraud category just yet, but they ain't going to Ohio State winning. That's not happening.
Tanner?
So take the Ohio State in the point.
Ohio State by a zillion. They're good. 100%.
Next game is Toledo at number 9, Notre Dame. 16.5 points. I think Notre Dame wins the game, but I think Toledo covers because if you remember back when Ball State played Notre Dame, Ball State actually covered that. So I'm going to take Toledo to cover it, but Notre Dame wins.
I got Notre Dame to cover.
All right, you're going to take the underdog rate. I'll take Notre Dame. They didn't cover this week. They're coming out strong next week. 100%. Hot and heavy.
I want to take Ball State with my heart. Going to Penn State, that they can cover 22 points just like the Notre Dame. Maybe it's a letdown week for Penn State for the big game last week, I would hope. I think they cover easily against Ball State, unfortunately.
I'm going to take Ball State, man, but I'm going to tell you right now, Penn State is going to blow them out the water. But there's no way. I'm a Ball State alumni. we got mad love for Ball State here on the Crossroads Sports Band. So there's no way I can bet against them, man. But you know, Penn State will put at least 20 on them.
Okay. And Tanner, you took Penn State as you already said earlier to beat them by a zillion. That was the quote. Number 18 Iowa, which these were the I didn't update the other things. Number 18 Iowa at number 7 Iowa State. Iowa State is a 4-point favorite in the Cy-Hawk matchup. I got Iowa State covering this. I think they win by at least a touchdown, maybe even 10 points.
It's going to be a different look for them versus Indiana versus Iowa. That game has got about as unpredictable as anything, man. I like the Big Ten to represent in that game. I think Iowa wins the game.
Wow. Okay. Tanner?
You know what? I'm going to go with Iowa. They look too good for me. I'm going to take them in the points. I like the underdogs are howling. I'll take the underdogs.
I don't have a spread yet that's out, or at least I haven't seen one yet, for Idaho and Indiana. But, damn it, I'm just going to take the Hoosiers in the spread, whatever the hell it is. They have to surely have play better.
100%.
Oh, man.
Indiana. Their jerseys, the spread, whatever you got to take the Hoosiers by whatever the spread is.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that was
even if they don't spell their name right.
That was embarrassing. Yeah. That was definitely embarrassing. Man. Yeah. I got Indiana to rebound. Indiana to rebound for sure.
Okay, so we all take Indiana
if
there no matter what the hell
anything,
the spread
he's
is.
He's going to bury everybody here. They got to win by 40-plus.
Yep. Initially a big one to look at this week, and then they got beat by Montana. But Washington at Michigan, Michigan -6 at home. Give me Michigan, and I can get a touch. Win them, have them win by a touchdown. Absolutely.
I want to say so bad. Michigan is back. I thought Washington was going to be a little bit of a test for them. I think Michigan wins. Washington's not a test, but I can't say Michigan's back just yet, but Michigan wins that game handedly.
Yeah.
Tanner.
Michigan's covering that pick. I think Michigan covers that. Harbaugh knows his ass is probably really quick on the tight leash.
Right. Right. I got three more. Purdue, the Boilermakers off the win last week, Oregon State. Purdue -33.5 at UConn, who just got rid of the coach with the drama there. Guys, I think UConn at least maybe loses by 32. or 33. So I'm going to take UConn to cover, but Purdue wins the game big.
Wow.
Wow. You're saying it's going to be a mercy killing. I like Purdue to cover that, man. I really do.
I hope they do, but I don't think they can. John, Tanner? Are you there, Tanner?
They be losing.
He's still shooting him on here.
All right, we'll challenge back in. We'll get it back in.
All right, we'll go to the next one.
Purdue, UConn. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll wait for him to come back. Next one I have, John, is Buffalo at Nebraska. Nebraska is a 13.5 point favorite. I'd like Buffalo out of the MAC to cover against Nebraska. And hell, I wouldn't be surprised if they even win.
Damn, man. Buffalo's dangerous. Buffalo's dangerous, man. Nebraska looked like they was back to reality, you know what I'm saying, when they beat the hell out of Fordham this past weekend. Oh, man. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to take Nebraska. I'm going to take Nebraska. I think Nebraska beats Buffalo.
Okay. Give me one second here. I'm trying to do multiple things. All right, you're going to take Nebraska. The last one I have, Stanford at number 15, USC. On my thing I had out here, I had Stanford, but I think Nebraska covers – or, excuse me, Stanford against USC. I had Stanford on my sheet that's shown on Facebook Live, but I'm making a switch. I'm taking USC minus the 17.5.
Yeah, this year's Stanford team, man, they're gonna need a pep talk from Andrew Luck maybe to try to finish out the rest of this season, man. You know, they just didn't look good at all last weekend. And USC looks like they're surging. Looks like it's going to be between them and UCLA to represent Pac-12 in the postseason if that's to be, right. So I'm taking USC.
Okay, perfect. You got the Trojans. Tanner's in Southern Indiana, where they currently have service right now. So I've asked him if he could just give us his last three picks, and we'll talk it up. We got just a couple minutes, and I got to get off, John. Colts preview, yeah. Colts minus 2.5 this week against Seattle. I already said I thought I like Seattle to win this game and to easily cover and take the points there. I really like that. BYU since Houston and UCF going to the Big 12. I like it. They're trying
love
to salvage it.
Love it. Right, they're trying to salvage it. I don't know what that means as far as any other alliances is concerned or the SEC is concerned. But I would assume at some point, whenever those teams go over to the Big 12, that a deal be made either with the Big 10 Alliance or even with the SEC for them to be a partner. I really do. As far as the Colts are concerned, again, man, Carson Wentz, I get it that, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people don't believe in practice and everything, but he's been in and out of the lineup. He's been in and out of practice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, again, we're expecting the quarterback to snap his fingers, you know, our reclamation quarterback to snap his fingers and to go out there and score 27 points. I can't take those. I can't take that at all, man. I'm surprised the line is even greater in the Rams' favor. But, again, I'm not – I like the Colts, but there's no way I could say that they could beat the Rams. Not at all.
Okay. Well, it's Seattle this week. It's the Rams in 2 weeks.
Damn it. Seattle, I'm sorry. Russell Wilson, that's even better.
That's even worse, yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about an offensive team, you know what I'm saying, and Russell Wilson and what they have. And, again, they put some of their drama behind them. And here the Colts still got drama going into, well, at least tomorrow. So we'll see. We'll know a little bit more after tomorrow's practice. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
How good Carson Wentz looks. You know what I mean? But again, what were we talking about all summer and we're in training camp? We were talking about Easton and how the availability of Easton. So again, like we shifted gears, Coach Frank Wright, and now it's all on Carson because we know the defense is set, right? But do we know what our quarterback is set? And if you ain't got a quarterback, you ain't got nothing. So again,
there you go.
I'm still taking Seattle.
Okay, so we're both on Seattle. I also see Tamika Border. She is on Seattle, so three smart heads right there all taking Seattle this week. Sorry, Reggie. Last couple things I have, John, T.J. Watt I think Buffalo beats my Steelers this weekend. I kind of prepped that already, but with possible no TJ Watt, he might not be playing due to still the contract dispute. On a contract, he may sit out this week. Mm-hmm. So that makes it even worse for my Steelers, but I think Buffalo gets the win this week against us. TJ Warren update, his injury is not healing like they were thinking it should have been, so he is out indefinitely. That's a little bit more of a concern with me, too, with the Pacers and TJ Warren's situation.
Yeah, man, when you hit me with that one, that's kind of brutal, man. Hell, the season, you know, the kickoff to the season doesn't really, you know what I mean? I get it that it starts at the end of October, but, you know what I'm saying, we're talking about my guy's availability, hell, and it's August. I'm sorry, it's September, and we know – you know, the real hard plan doesn't start till after Christmas, and you're telling me that that it hasn't healed up right? Man, they're messing with the Pacers' depth, but, yeah, without a superstar, without a true superstar, you would want T.J. Warren out there. So I hope they can get it shored up in the long run.
And then last thing I have, I just saw breaking news out of Spokane, Washington this afternoon. Mark Few arrested yesterday for DUI. So,
wow.
Mark Few might be missing a few games to start the season for Gonzaga with a suspension, possibly. Enjoying Labor Day a little too much. But short show tonight, John. We didn't go the full 2 hours. I have my big fantasy draft here in a half hour. I got to finish prepping for that and zoom in for that. But great show overall, John. I thought, thank you to all our guests that called in. Between Reggie, Decott, Fred, Tanner. Man, it was a loaded show. We got a lot in an hour and a half. We almost needed to do an additional show just to keep talking more about it, the stuff we missed. I thought it was great talking about AEW as well. John, I'll let you kind of give your little thing and then wrap us.
Just want to shout out to everybody else. Also, the folks that kind of chimed in on the live. Whether it's Kelly Birdsong, my sister, or and Reg, and Tamika as well, man. Shout out to all those folks as well, man. How could we not do the show without Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, or Maverick Motorsports, man. Great sponsors, man. Make sure you check out those products they have to offer. Click the link and check out what they have, man, for sure. We'll be back. Me and Brandon will be back 2 big hours next week. It's going to be great. Another great show. We'll be talking, you know, saying everything from NFL, NBA, WWE, AEW, and all things in between, man. Again, hopefully ESPN doesn't shut it down for all the slander. all the nice things I said about them, but it's true. So with that being said, man, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.